Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. More than 71,500 South Dakotans have now received one of the approved vaccines to prevent COVID-19. South Dakota is one of the nation's leaders in distribution and administration of available doses, but much work remains in the fight to end the pandemic. Part of that work is dispelling the myths and misinformation about the disease and the vaccine. Joining us today to debunk a few of those myths, we welcome two epidemiologists from South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. Elizabeth Rocks and Christine Matthews are with us. Dr. Rocks, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. Good to be here.
Dr. Matthews, welcome as well.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
Professor Rocks, let's start with you. And from the very beginning, people were celebrating the pace with which these vaccines were developed and approved. But then they also had concerns immediately about whether or not corners were cut and what happened in that process. So that's one of the most prevailing myths about this, isn't it? That this is just too darn new. Tell us a little bit about what you can tell us about that myth.
Well, as far as that myth goes, I would like to emphasize to people that this vaccine was made quickly. Yes, usually vaccine development can last years. But just because it was done quickly doesn't mean it was done sloppily. Okay, we have quality checks throughout the process, even for this emergency use that was granted by the FDA. So it's not as if the stop checks and the safety measures that we would normally have weren't used here.
Yeah. One of my understandings from the beginning was that what was really at risk was a lot of money, that money was thrown at things that you could lose. And that was really maybe more at risk from the beginning than any kind of scientific checklist. Is that sort of, when we talk about how quickly something is developed, is that kind of what some of the risks are? Is just that people are going to make financial risks that might not pay off?
We might make some financial risks, but I think the risks of losing people's lives or having long-term health impacts will also cost a great deal, both emotionally and down the road too. So I don't think we're wasting money. I think, you know, we're trying to get a vaccine out to help people stay alive and out of the ICUs. Because a lot of the vaccines, although they may not, if you get it, even if you don't have your second shot, it might help keep you out of an ICU or have very severe illness.
Right. Professor Matthews, let's talk about this one. Can you get the disease from the vaccine? True or false?
That's a great question. I've heard a lot of people asking me about that one. There's a lot of concern and fear about that. So for this particular vaccine, no, it is not possible to get COVID from the vaccine. There is no live or inactive viral component. So there's no whole virus in this vaccine in any way, shape, or form. The way that the vaccine works is you have a small piece of coding instruction that makes one tiny little surface piece of the virus, and you give it to your own cells in your body, and you use the factories and machinery in your cell to produce copies of this one tiny piece of the virus and show it off to your immune system. So your immune system will see it and then create a memory response to it. So the next time you encounter an entire virus, you are able to respond to it quickly and efficiently. But the benefit of this is that, you know, there's not any risk of getting the disease from the vaccine. One thing that can happen, though, is it takes several weeks for your antibody responses. So once you've seen something and activated your immune system, it can take up to 3 weeks to get a full antibody response up and mounted. So during those initial weeks, you are not protected. So it's entirely possible that somebody could receive a COVID vaccine and then contract COVID in that window and still get sick. So, you know, there has to be the understanding that just because you had a vaccine and you got COVID, if that happens, that didn't come from the vaccine. But it's also a warning to people to still be careful in that first window after you have received your vaccine, because you're not initially and immediately protected.
Professor Matthews, people say when they heard mRNA, I don't want anybody changing my DNA. I don't want anybody messing with that. Does this vaccine alter or change your DNA?
No, that's also a very good question. So most people are familiar with the concept of DNA. So your DNA is your genetic code that's in your cell, but not everybody is as familiar with RNA. So the way that this works in a biological system is you have the DNA in our human cells, and it stays in the very center of our cell in a place called the nucleus. And if we want to make something from the instructions in the DNA, the factory for producing products is located somewhere else. So we don't want to take our entire DNA and drag the whole code book over to the factory station. So what we do is we produce kind of an intermediary transfer signal that goes from the DNA to the coding, and that is your RNA. So basically, it produces a copy of just a specific set of instructions, and it carries over to the machinery and gives that set of instructions. And one of the nice things about RNA is that once it is done, it is degraded very quickly, so it goes away very fast. This is one of the reasons the vaccines have to be kept very cold for shipping, is to make sure that that RNA isn't degraded. So important to know biologically, your RNA cannot go back into DNA. It cannot integrate into DNA. It does not go into the nucleus. It doesn't go anywhere near that. So when you get the vaccine with that mRNA piece in it, it just goes straight over to that machinery factory. It hands off the instruction, and you can think of it kind of like an old spy movie where, like, when you're done with the message, it has like a self-destruct sequence and it blows up in flames. It's not quite that dramatic in a biological system, but it's the same kind of idea. So once the instructions are done, they are broken down and they're gone. So it's not something that's going to stay around and be in your cell permanently and be a part of your DNA.
Yeah. Professor Rocks. Yeah, that's a good one. Professor Rocks, if I've already had COVID-19, people are asking, I don't need to get the vaccine, do I? True or false? People who have had the virus and recovered don't need the vaccine.
You do need to get the vaccine, even if you've had COVID. Even though you do have a natural immunity for a little while, we don't know enough about how long that will last. Now, if you have had COVID-19, you need to speak with your physician, because there is a window in which you don't want to get the vaccine until about 90 days after you're done with your COVID infection. This is important, because you don't want to, you want to be able to have the vaccine be fully effective and give you that full boost for your antibody levels in your body.
Right. So screening,
so yes, you need to get it.
That screening will occur, you know, when it's time for your vaccine. You know, you'll be asked some of those questions about, you know, what kind of treatments you've received, et cetera.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Side effects are worse for the second shot than they are for the first. Who wants to tackle that one? Elizabeth Rocks, some people are saying, oh, I was fine on the first shot, but that second one is a doozy. Yes or no?
Yes. That can happen. I would say if you're getting a vaccine with the second round, this is giving you that boost. Okay, and your immune system is getting the full picture of what it needs to do to respond to the foreign particles. So you're priming your immune system, and you need that second boost to prime it. But when that happens, we are seeing some more side effects, but the side effects are not unexpected. Okay, they're fever, chills, but they go away. Okay, maybe injection site soreness, they do go away. They're very short term. This is just a function of your body ramping up and getting primed to take on those foreign particulates.
Yeah. Christine Matthews, if I don't have side effects in either shot, that means it didn't work. True or false?
No, it's false. Not necessarily. The vaccines for Pfizer and Moderna are both in the 90% effective rate, the mid-90s. And so there are some people that, you know, may not produce a full immune response. And this happens in other vaccines as well. But just because you don't have side effects doesn't mean that you haven't you know, developed a response. Everybody's body is a little bit different, and everybody experiences things a little bit differently. Everyone's immune system will respond to it slightly differently. But just because you don't have any side effects doesn't mean that your immune system isn't doing exactly what it's supposed to do, and you're not going to be well protected from the vaccine doses. Mm-hmm.
Professor Rox, this is one of my favorite ones, and it has to do with post-vaccine. Can I take off my mask and do whatever I want? And people are saying, well, that's the whole point of a vaccine. Of course, now you're protected. And other people are saying, not so fast. We still need you to do these mitigation efforts. And some people are getting, upset about that or concerned about that. So the question for you, Elizabeth Rox, is once I'm vaccinated and I've waited, 2 weeks or whatever for full effect, do I get to go about my life as usual? And if not, why not?
Well, you don't get to go about your life quite as usual, not yet. So once you've had the vaccine and you are primed and ready to go, you're through your initial period there, a couple of weeks, you do need to stay with the recommendations of wearing your mask, social distancing, washing your hands consistently. Because this protects other people. Not everyone at this point who wants a vaccine has been able to get one. And we want to, protect those people who are at risk still.
Can you spread it? If you're vaccinated, can you still spread it to someone else?
Well, the thought is that with the 95% efficacy of some of the vaccines, 94%, this high efficacy rate, it may actually help prevent transmission, but that is something we're still learning. So we do need people to keep wearing those masks and keep taking actions that would keep them from spreading anything. Because even though there's this high efficacy rate, there's still going to be a percentage of the population who have been vaccinated, very small, 5-6%, who could still get COVID-19. Yeah. So we do ask, that people wear their masks, stay with their social distancing, don't go and meet in big groups, wash your hands, because we really want to protect those around us.
New studies from the CDC and Columbia University predicting that across the nation, far more people have been infected than maybe we originally thought because of the nature of asymptomatic spread and the low amount of testing. Christine Matthews, are we approaching herd immunity in South Dakota? True or false?
That's a little bit hard to answer since we don't have a good full picture of what exactly is going on asymptomatically. We don't know exactly how many people already have had it and already have protection. For herd immunity, we often are shooting for somewhere close to around, 80%-ish of the population to be protected. One of the big concerns and questions that we are still evaluating as scientists, though, one of the questions that's remaining to be evaluated is, if you have protection, how long does that protection last? So another reason, going back to why even if you've had COVID, you should get a vaccine, is we're hoping to make sure that we can avoid, since there have been a couple of cases of people who have been reinfected with COVID, we want to make sure that people have enough protection that it's going to be lasting. Because in order to really put a dent in things and kind of stop things, we need to have enough people that are protected for a long enough period of time to interrupt the transmission cycle to get everything to kind of calm down. So I would hope that we are maybe
very quickly
getting closer, but we have a ways to go.